Hello and welcome to the Dr. Kat Baker Show. That's right. The show now has a doctor at the beginning. And why is that? Well, we thought we're going to change things a little bit around here. You know, if you've been watching this podcast for a while, I believe this might be episode 45 or something. Whoa, episode 45. Done a lot. It's quite a fair amount of episodes. Then you would know that part of the segment that we do in the episodes is that I answer fan problems. But you know what? I thought, I really do feel like that is me giving a gift to the world when I answer these questions from horny autistic men. And I thought, you know what? I feel like I want to make that the main premise of the show. Why don't we just make this like an agony aunt show? But I'm not just any agony aunt, right? I'm a doctor. I'm a doctor. I am. You know, I have a degree. And part of that degree, I studied sexuality. So I am in a very good place to answer questions about sex and relationships, particularly from horny men. Because if you don't know, I am also a sex worker. So I hear the craziest stuff from horny men all the time. I have a pretty unique insight. And not only that, I also used to work in mental health. And I thought, let's put all my expertise together to do a show where the focus is you guys. That's right, you guys. We are also going to try and set up somewhere where you can leave voice notes for me to answer. I'll post details for that when I can. There is a little bit of building going on outside. People are doing some building. The world must go on, even though this is the most important podcast in the world, so I wish they would realise that. But alas, we do what we can do. So, yes, I am now your sexually inappropriate therapist, and we are going to answer some of your questions. Okay, let's do it. Okay, problem number one.
Should I date my sister's friend? They go to uni together and live in the same halls, but I'm really into her and don't know what to do.
Ooh. Should you date your sister's friend? Yes. I think so. I'm just trying to think. What? Okay, so that's the equivalent of, I have a brother, okay? I don't have a sister. Right. If my brother dated one of my friends, I would be a bit grossed out. Having said that, right, my friend, okay, her brother started dating her friend and they're married now. And they're very happy together. So potentially, you know, all these rules about, you know, you shouldn't date siblings, friends or whatever could be stopping you from meeting the love of your life. So I would say ultimately, it's actually fine. Okay. As long as you're not shagging your sister, then I think it's fine. You can have sex with your sister's friend. The only thing is, if they're in the same uni halls together, I would say date. You could date, but wait until wait until they live apart. But if they're at uni halls together, they're probably going to end up living together in like second year, right? Because when you're in first year in halls and then like second year, you sort of move into a house together. And if they're best friends, they're probably going to move in together. And could you imagine being in your uni flat and then hearing your brother going at it with your mate? Grim. Yeah, I feel for her. I feel for your sister, I do. But I think she will understand eventually. I think so. Yeah. I think if there's chemistry there and you like each other, I think you've just got to pursue it, really. I'd say go for it. Why let a little bit of family get in the way of love? I feel that way about dating second cousins as well. I think you should be able to fuck your second cousin without fear of repercussions. You know, I have quite an attractive second cousin, actually, and he's mildly famous. So, yeah. Worth thinking about. Anyway, on to the next one. Okay, next one.
Got a big problem to talk through. Ooh. I smooched a girl from work in the club yesterday. I'm a boss. I always hang out with her dad every week in the political group I'm a member of. It's real awkward. The anxiety is massive. I told partner I'd be home at 11:30 and got in, got three. Send help. If you know, if you go through it, let me know. I'm a real white cis male vibe in position of power and I don't love it.
Okay. Let me get this right. You, a man, snogged your employee, okay? You are also in a relationship and you go to the same political party. You're in the same political party as her dad. The fact that you said then at the end when, oh, I'm a white cis male in a position of power, I'm assuming it's some sort of left-wing political party, right? I don't think two guys in a reform group are being like, oh, I'm a white cis male, sorry about that. I think that's probably, I assume you're probably part of the Labour or Green Party or Socialist Party group, which... Be careful, because if they find out you snogged one of your employees, that doesn't go down in those kind of, well, in those kind of spaces, just saying. Yes. I actually had a friend recently who was ousted from a political group because he made a move on someone. And they didn't reciprocate. And he got thrown out of the political party he was a part of. Can't say any more than that. But just be careful. That's all I'm saying. All I am saying. But oh my God, you snogged your employee. Okay. Nothing can happen. And if this comes out, people are going to think you're a real piece of shit, probably. Cheating and snogging an employee, not ideal. Not ideal. So if I were you, I would try and keep it under wraps as best as possible. Right? But then you can't bribe her, because that's just going to add an extra layer of awkwardness. And then you might get cancelled for trying to bribe your employee. Oh, yeah, damn. That is crazy. What do you think? Do you think...
This is only ever an issue if the female party isn't interested. If the female party liked this guy and they snogged or had sex or whatever, then it's okay. This stuff only ever becomes an issue when one party isn't interested. Do you know what I mean? Do you agree with that?
And this becomes a thing when people are in proper jobs, in real jobs. I haven't had one of those in a while, so I'm not quite sure what it's like. But if you're in an office environment where HR is very serious, the question does become, you know, is it okay? Okay, let's say cheating aside, okay, you cheated, right, whatever. Is it all right to get off with someone in the workplace, especially when you're technically in a position of power? I would say tricky because it's like, it's probably going to bring you more headache than, it depends if you like your job. I mean, that's the main thing. Is it a job you care about? Because if it is, then I'd probably avoid any sort of, you know, silliness, right? But if it was a job that's like, eh, then who the fuck cares, you know? Like, if it's a job like, you know, you're working in a bar or in a shop where it's like, you know, a very replaceable job, then I always think just bloody go for it, you know?
Let's assume this is like an important office career job, because I think people in like bars and stuff, everyone's hooking up with everyone. Yeah. And there's certain jobs where it's fine. So let's assume this is career, both of their career. So there are more implications. So, like, I know people, like, relationships have formed out of this scenario.
Yeah.
And I guess it depends on how many rungs the man is above the woman. It's usually the man in power. It's a bit of a cliche, but it kind of is. But if it's just like, oh, their supervisor versus like, oh, the CEO, it kind of changes everything. So it's not the worst thing in the world to
ask. He said boss.
Yeah, so does that mean like higher up boss, maybe? People use the word boss for like different
But
layers.
Then it could be an organisation when there's three employees.
That's the thing, yeah. But I think the moral of the story is, it's not the end of the world to ask maybe not like a really junior employee, but if you get on with someone and you ask them out, or you somehow let them know, look, I'm interested in you. This is a bit inappropriate, but I just want to test the waters. And then all of a sudden it's reciprocated. But if you're drunkenly like leering on them and like, you know, flirting in their ear, then it gets a bit weird. But is this the, wait, did he say he's cheating as well? Or was that the other story?
He has a partner.
This is different. This brings it to a whole different level. That means he's just looking to fuck an employee, or he's looking to fuck someone. So, let's assume she's younger.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just like, oh, I want a little young thing or something, you know? That makes it a bit more exploitative almost. But What are your opinions on the world where the woman is like, and I just want to do it?
Yeah, I think it's probably not exploitative. Like, it sounds like he's just a snog or whatever. But the way he's like, I'm a white cis male in a position of power, makes me think.
Oh, yeah, he's linked with her dad in the thing.
And then he knows her dad.
I think the dad thing is just like, just do everything you can to make sure the dad doesn't find out. Because that's an extra layer of problem, you know?
Now you got to marry her. Yeah. Marry her, shotgun wedding style.
I feel for the partner in this.
Yeah. Your poor partner. You know, but these things happen. So what is it that we do next? You know, that's the real thing. When you cheat on someone, do you tell or do you not tell? I would say, if this is just a drunken thingy, just keep it the fuck under wraps. I think it's too much nonsense will come from it if you reveal it, and hopefully the woman is on the same page. I just have this thing, the fact that you're like, you work together and then you're in the same political party as that. I just feel like there's a lot, and then you got a partner. I just feel like there's something around there where there's some sort of drama or cancellation can happen. Because I've seen someone who's spent time in political circles, left-wing political circles, sometimes minor relationship drama gets spread out into some kind of weird cancellation thing where people get thrown out of certain groups. And I'm not someone who likes to bang on about cancel culture, you know, like, it's like the one thing more annoying than cancel culture is people who bang on about cancel culture, really. But it is actually, I have seen it happen in real life, like in these sort of small local groups, and words get out that some guy's a bit of a dirty dog, not a rapist, not a sex offender, just a bit of a dirty dog. And it becomes a whole fucking thing. Like, people are like, oh, we need to, you know, remove him from this group, or we need to do an accountability circle, or we need to do, like, you know, there's a lot that happens. And I feel like I get the impression that you might be in a circle like that. I don't know. You know, which a lot of that stuff I'm like, you know, people are dying. People are, you know, people can't afford to heat their homes. Let's not bother with that nonsense. But, you know, as your therapist, I shouldn't, you know, throw my own political agenda on this. But I just think a lot of nonsense could come from it. So I think the best thing you want to do is keep it the fuck under wraps and keep your willy in your knickers. That's what I think, really. I mean, at least you haven't shagged her. A snog is better than a shag. We've all done... A regretful snog is a lot better than a regretful shag, I think. You know? Because it's like, well, you just sort of... You know, you could just sort of rinse your mouth out with mouthwash and pretend it didn't happen. Whereas, you know, a shag is a lot more difficult to forget and pretend didn't happen. So that's the approach I would take, really. Yeah. It is funny. I've never been in a workplace, like all the workplaces I used to work in before I started doing OnlyFans were workplaces where it was like there was not any dating or relationship between employees, because I worked in like mental health, it was like things had to be very professional and very serious. I haven't had many jobs where it's like I worked in a bar and you sort of date your, you know, even your colleagues and things like that. So it's funny, I went from that to then a job where you do actually shag your colleagues. Like that's part of the job description, in that you film porn. Yeah, a lot of the people I work with were just like 50-year-old lesbians and gay men, so didn't really do that. Sad times. Now on to the next problem.
Made out with my sister-in-law when I was drunk the other day. Should I tell my wife?
Making out with your sister-in-law. A classic, a tale as old as time. The sister-in-law. Not as bad as mother-in-law. I think that's a lot worse. Should you... Oh, God. I mean, like I just said from the previous one, I think... Making out is obviously not as bad as shagging, right? Oh, but your sister-in-law, so your wife's sister. Oh, that is terrible. Oh, that is terrible.
Is there any onus to be put on the sister-in-law?
Oh, yeah. She's a nasty piece to work as well. I think you both got issues. That is... Oh, don't... Yeah, look. Look, I understand that... people be horny, you know. And although I am the spokesperson of horny men, clearly women can be silly and horny too, you know. Women can do stupid things. Is there a statistic about do men or women cheat more? I feel like it's 50-50. I don't know. But I would say... Oh, you need to... My instinct would be no, don't tell.
There's a paragraph that pops up and the sentence that is highlighted is, men are more guilty of infidelity. The tendency for someone to cheat varies from person to person and the reasons are often personal. While studies have shown that men are more guilty of infidelity, it doesn't dictate any future behaviours and should not be used to predict cheating in relationships.
So just because you're dating a man, don't assume they're going to cheat.
Well, yeah. But it. I know women cheat as well, but it feels like men have a desire to cheat more. Am I generalising?
I think... I think men have a desire to cheat more. I think if women cheat, it's more like a guy's come on to them and they're sort of like, yeah, why not? You know? Oh no, actually women do, I think, actively seek it out sometimes. But I think men more actively seek out the cheating. You know, because men generally have to make the first move anyway.
So we have a statistic in the UK from Delta74PrivateInvestigations.co.uk. How official does that sound?
Oh my
I have no
God.
Idea what it is. But so, in previous years, it was more 50-50. However, 2023 saw us prove that more men were cheating compared to women. I ran our actual numbers looking at the cases from the cheating partner investigations we carried out in 2023. 25% of our investigations looked at and proved women were cheating, which left a whopping 75% of men that were proved to be cheating.
75 versus 25%.
That's a big jump. And I'm kind of not surprised.
Whoa, man. I wish I could have vouched for you then and said, you know, women can be just as naughty, but damn. Damn, damn, damn.
What's this website? It feels...
It is crazy the amount of messages I get. I mean, I don't believe following... See, I don't think subscribing to an OnlyFans is cheating, right? But it is funny the amount of messages on my Instagram DMs I get where men reach out to me and they're like, oh, you're so hot, I fancy you so much. And like their profile picture is them on their wedding day. And I'm like, oh... Because you can follow someone because you find them hot, but to reach out and message them is a bit...
Can we dive into that a bit more?
Mm.
Because there is a world where people think the OnlyFans thing is more personal because the women feel like they're attainable.
See, I think it's weirder to message me on Instagram than to subscribe to my OnlyFans.
Oh, wait. Did you say you get more messages on Instagram?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so, I mean, well, on OnlyFans, obviously, you don't really see them. Whereas Instagram, you can see their profile.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So I can see their profile. And I feel like on Instagram, it's like, because OnlyFans, it's like you're just paying for a service. Whereas Instagram, you're kind of messaging me, hoping.
Yeah. But as a doctor and an OnlyFans professional, what is your general opinion on the concept that talking to an OnlyFans and jacking off to an OnlyFans creator is more personal and intimate than watching a scene on Pornhub? Because some women think it is.
It depends. I think because 90% of the guys who subscribe to me never talk to me or message me. I think, yes, I'm answering a lot of messages all day, but most people subscribe and never message. They just subscribe, jerk off and unsubscribe. And to be honest, I think that's kind of pretty similar to just like watching Pornhub. I think if you're in a relationship, it depends. It's different. I mean, I wouldn't care, obviously, if I had a boyfriend and he was subscribed to an OnlyFans and was just sort of talking through different kinks or talking through whatever, you know, with some OnlyFans girl. I wouldn't really care about that. I think
because you're an OnlyFans girl, you know the industry, you know the type of men, you know other women that do slightly different things than you, like women that might do more chatty stuff and personal, like I guess customs or personal kind of photo exchanges is one thing. So you know what the industry is like and you know that you're not obtainable. But the culture and the society and women who aren't in the know will see if their boyfriend is in London messaging a London-based medium-sized OnlyFans creator as opposed to huge American LA Hollywood porn star or whatever, then that woman might go, What if they meet up, or what if there's a world where it's a sex work exchange and she's right there, she's two towns over? That's what I feel like some, excuse the expression, but some normal women who don't know about OnlyFans, they think that can happen. Do you agree? What are your thoughts on that?
I think I get it, like, because sometimes you get also guys messaging you being like, oh, I think we live near, will you meet up with me? And it's like, no, I'm not going to meet up with you. But they think it's, you know... they think you might. I think you got to think sometimes that the fact that they're local in London, it could be more just that it just plays into the wanking experience more. Like, they're like, I want a girl who's British and kind of looks like Girl Next Door or whatever.
Yeah, but what I mean is the men deep down know you're not obtainable. But their partners think you might be obtainable.
Yeah.
And that's where they freak out and go.
Yeah, I think it is like that, yeah. And also the fact that we message back or something.
Yeah, exactly.
But trust me, we're not developing feelings for your boyfriends. I hate to break it to you fellas, but that is just not really what's going on in my head when I'm messaging back. But yeah, I think it also depends what they're messaging the girls. Like, yeah, I get lots of people messaging me being like, oh, can we meet up? Can we have sex? Like, that is cheating because they're trying to, you know, meet. But then sometimes I get people message me being like, oh, and they want to tell me what, like, them and their girlfriend did last night or something. Like, I don't know. It's just, obviously, they're just using my content or messaging me as a way to wank off. It's not like they want to replace their girlfriend with me. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, I think it just depends what the intention is.
But I think what the main point I was making is it's the partner who will perceive it differently. And like, no, freak out more.
Yeah.
And but like, she's not in London, I'm gonna find her, break her legs.
Yeah. Like, see, try, bitches. I'm a doctor and a cage fighter. I don't know if you knew that, so try it. So the original question was, what was it? He snogged his stepsister.
Stepsister.
God, I'm so porn-brained. I'm like...
That's all the porn cliches. Yeah, so let's pull it back. He snogged his wife's sister, which is ultimately a level above his wife's best friend and ultimately a big level above just snogging a random lady. So if this comes out, it could ruin two of her relationships.
Yeah.
So it could hurt her even... It could hurt her double the amount.
Yeah.
So he's really dicing with risk of, like, the risk that he's really fucking with is he's hurting his wife double.
Also, this is something I believe strongly. You can choose who you fall in love with and who you're attracted to, because you might get on with your your wife's sister like a house on fire, and she might be very hot. But you can choose whether you fall in love with her and have feelings for her. Like, you can have a sort of like, oh yeah, she's hot. Like, objectively, she's hot. Like, because I meet people, you know, all the time that I might be like a friend's partner. I might be like, oh, objectively, he's attractive and nice. Or like, I get on with him, but because he's my friend's partner, there's just something in your brain that just can just put them in a box where it's like,
do you know what that thing in your brain is?
What?
Respect.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Believe it or not, the woman who spreads her legs on the internet does have respect in her brain. So, you know,
but so, it's anybody being respectful of that situation. Like, going, oh my god, my wife's sister is so hot, but like, don't make a move on her because you're my sister. Like, pull that in. And
don't. Even if she made on you a move on you, you can still be like, well, no, you know. But clearly there is a lack of, there is something in you, again, there's a bit of a dirty dog. And you are making that decision to make out with her. It didn't just happen, did it? Someone at some point was getting a bit too close to one another. And no one went, oh, let's not do this. No, you were like, let's tongue fight. That's what you said. And to that, so that makes me think that could happen again at some point, unless you make an active decision for it not to happen again. And therefore, I would say, look, if it's not going to happen again, don't fucking mention it. Never bring it up. Make a pact with the sister to never bring it up, okay? But if this is going... if you are making it an active choice and you end up sleeping with her or something, I think at that point you're going to have to tell because, and to be honest, I think you're probably going to have to get a divorce because, I don't know, I can't. It's one thing to cheat. I think marriages can recover after cheating, but not cheating with the sister. That's mad. That's crazy.
Do you have anything to say on the forbidden fruit concept? Because she is the most forbidden fruit.
Yeah. I get it. I do get the forbidden fruit things. It does make things hotter. But I tell you what, the post-nut clarity on that is not going to be worth it. Let me tell you. You know, like, it will be hot for a couple minutes. But the damage it will cause will not be worth a nut. It will not be. You will just be like, what the fuck was... Like, you're potentially... You know, it's two families falling apart, isn't it?
Just thought of a new segment idea. Is it worth the nut?
Yeah, that's good. Is it worth the nut?
For real, like...
Yeah. Is it worth the nut? No, definitely. That one is not worth the nut. If it was... Like, for example, a nut I would say is worth it is working a shitty job, nutting a colleague. I think that's worth a nut. Like you work in a bar and you're like, oh, that's... I might lose my bar job. I think that's worth a nut.
A consensual nut, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotta be.
Yeah, no rape is worth a nut, by the way, guys.
It's gotta be mutual with both parties.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's an example of a nut, I think. It's like, it's a bit risky, forbidden fruit, but I think it's, why not? Yeah. You, oh my God, you lot. I've just got this, I feel like, don't know why I've just got this vibe that they all sort of look like Jeremy Kyle type vibe.
As in, they look like Jeremy Kyle or they look like they should be on Jeremy Kyle?
They look
Kyle.
Like they should be on Jeremy Kyle, probably. Okay, last one.
How do I tell my upstairs neighbour she's welcome to come down and sit on my face?
How do I tell my upstairs neighbour that she's welcome to come down and sit on my face? Right, so what do I say to thee? Personally, as a woman who lives in a block of flats, if there was, if I knew my neighbour fancied me and I didn't fancy him, that would very much gross me out a lot. It just because you'd think, oh, there's a man in my building where I live that wants me to have sex with him. That's kind of a gross feeling. However, if there is a vibe there and it might potentially be all right, you know, I think that's a nut that's worth it, a neighbour. I mean, you got to think there's a lot of issues that come with that. Let's put aside whether she's interested or not. Let's assume she is, okay? I'm feeling probably not. Just from the way you sound and the message you send, I feel like you're not someone who regularly pulls birds in the nicest way possible.
Yeah, this is where your doctor training and your sex training needs to come in. That could have been worded like, I like my upstairs neighbour, should I hit on her? Versus, how do I tell her to come and sit on my face?
Exactly. But let's pretend that your upstairs neighbour is potentially interested in you. I would say it is risky. You know, I think it's definitely harder to find somewhere new to live than to find a new job, I think, personally. It's far more effort to have to move and find a new place than it is to find a new job. So, and there becomes a thing of if you sleep together and then what if you want to start dating new people and then you've got to like sneak people in like without the neighbor seeing or something. I don't know, like you don't want to make it awkward. Like I remember I slept with a housemate and it was a bit awkward afterwards, like when we would then date other people, like, but I mean, we got over it. It was fine.
How long did you live together after you did the thing? Out of curiosity.
Like a year.
Okay.
Yeah, but then we kind of became friends, so it was fine.
I had a similar situation once.
But we were also, she was a woman. So I feel like it was women, you're sort of, I don't know, you just kind of can make, I don't know, you just kind of make up better afterwards. Like, I don't know.
Maybe. Was she openly like gay or bi? Because, you know, if it's like if it's two straight women that do the thing, then they're like,
God. She was a lesbian, but I remember she did sleep with a couple men after that. But I think she's full on lesbian now.
You know, like if something happens and like both parties are straight to everybody else, then they're like, oh, make sure no one knows because, you know.
No,
that's fine.
Yeah, so it was a bit awkward, but it was fine. So I guess, you know, there's that. However, let's talk about the real world. I have a feeling she's not interested.
I agree.
I don't know if you know this, but generally if you go up to a woman and you're like, you know, sit on my face, there's very, very few worlds in which that would work.
At what point of dating? Like 2 or 3 dates in, maybe you've already had sex, maybe you haven't had sex yet. At what point is it acceptable to tell the person you're dating, I like when women sit on my face? or like any kind of thing.
I think once you've had like an intense makeout session and it's like, you don't have to have slept together, but it being you're probably about to sleep with each other. I don't think if you've had a brief kiss and then you go back to your date, you know, you're on the date and you're at the bar and you're like, oh, and then you have a brief kiss. And then you sort of go back to chatting. And then you're like, I like women that sit on my face. I think you don't know if that's going to, you still, even though you've kissed, you don't know that's going to land well. If you've been furiously making out and it's like, you know, things are getting hot and heavy, then you can probably, and maybe they've been like, I want to fuck you. Then you can say, I like women sit on my face.
You have to have that social decorum to know when the conversation is headed that way. And based on the tone of this guy's voice or the tone of the message, he might lack that social decorum.
See, this is the issue with men, right? They drop dick pics or like explicit work or like say explicit things uninvited. You've got to, when it comes to dick pics or saying something explicit, you've got to wait for the woman to do it first. Like, is in send a nude or say something explicit before you then say something explicit. Like, it's just, because even as a woman, even if you like a guy, sometimes if you might like them and in your head you're like, yeah, I would sleep with him. But if he then sent a dick pic or said something very explicit and it was uninvited, then even though I technically want to sleep with him, I would then be like, oh, no. So that you've got to think, women think about sex completely differently. Even if we want to have sex with someone and we are attracted to them, that doesn't mean we want to have sex with them regardless of anything else. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've still got to have some like riz to you or some sort of charisma and generally not just seem completely inept socially, you know? We've got to have a bit of a... There's no woman, I don't think I know a single woman in the world where it would work for a man to knock on her door and say, would you sit on my face? Women just do not work that way. Even if she thought you were attractive, there is no world where that would work. Because isn't there, there's that experiment they did at a university where they had a very attractive woman and a very attractive man. They went out and said and went up to different people and said, would you come back to mine and sleep with me? And the very, despite being a very attractive man, saying this to women, and women would show, you know, kind of could tell they found him attractive. Like, I think it was none of them went back with him. Like, even though he's a very attractive man, the other way around, I think, like, it's something like most of the men all said yes to the woman, a very attractive woman. So we're wired differently, you know? It's just the way it is. It's the way of the world, you know?
I think this new format might be heading towards you just giving your horny autistic audience genuine advice on how to get women.
Whoa. So are you telling me that if you watch this podcast, you're going to get laid?
Potentially.
Whoa.
That's the Dr. Kat Baker way, I think.
That's what I've heard. That is what I've heard. If you become a viewer of this podcast, you will be slinging dick. Slinging dick. So it's worth noting. Apparently also, if you subscribe to the Patreon, you sling double dick. Whoa. That's crazy. I did not know that. But there we are, guys. You're welcome. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, guys. In the comments down below, let me know what you think of me being your doctor. What do you think of me being your psychiatrist? Do you think this works for you? I think I know everything about everything, so...
Sex therapist, relationship advisor, dating expert. There's all these terms that you are.
Exactly. So, tell me what you think, guys. Anyway, thank you for joining the Dr. Kat Baker Show. I hope you have learned something today. And you can go out there and get your little willy wet. That's what I want for my subscribers, you know. All I really want is for you to get laid, to be honest. But you've got to be smart about it, okay, guys? So, you know. See you in the next one. Bye.